Okay, now wait a minute. This is my thruster here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
forward.
So now I'm going forward. It looks like nothing so much as a big blue pillow floating benignly across the computer science lab. But the 5-foot blimp is being steered by several tiny propellers, and it's sending out audio and video to the World Wide Web as it lumbers slowly through the room.
Obviously, if you had something that moved any faster, you would say, turn left, and you would completely miss corners. You would miss things because of the network delay. Watch out, Ken!
The errant blimp is what UC Berkeley grad student Eric Paulos calls a space browser. He and Professor John Canny have built a fleet of mic and camera-equipped robots that can be remotely controlled over the World Wide Web. For those times when a phone call just isn't enough, but you can't be physically present, Paulos and Canny propose telepresence.
You are in a real place, and more than that, there are real people there. It's extremely engaging and also very useful for doing work. We can be sitting at a desk, or I can be looking over the shoulder of somebody working at a desk, and I can see what they're doing. And we can discuss things in the way that we would if I was really there.
Besides a succession of blimps, the fleet includes a modified remote control car from Radio Shack that scurries along the floor with its sensors at the top of a 5-foot pole.
John's actually on sabbatical this semester, so he's been traveling a lot, but he's had the pleasurable opportunity to sort of come in and check up on what's going on in the labs.
We had some prospective graduate students visiting for a day, and I was in MIT at the time, on the East Coast, and I was able to drive the cart around and talk to a few people at least. There was a sentiment along the lines of there's a stick walking around and people are saying it's a professor. So we had a credibility problem.
That problem of credibility runs deeper than mere incredulity. People around the world can watch and listen as the blimp goes through its paces, flying down hallways or hovering over convention crowds. And a substantial number of them seem to think it's a put-on.
People have sort of surprisingly sent us emails saying, nice try, I can tell this is a complete hoax. This sort of came as an immense surprise to us because you could imagine for these projects we put a lot of effort into them to make them as real as possible.
And in fact, they are real. So why don't they seem so? Is it the quality of the pictures? But a telephone call can be grippingly real, with no pictures at all and relatively poor sound quality. Or perhaps it's the sluggish response of the browser. If that's the case, we can probably expect virtual reality to be just as real as real reality for some time to come. And that poses a puzzling question indeed.
The epistemology question, how do we know what is real and what is not? What are the grounds for truth, belief, evidence, knowledge?
Ken Goldberg is a professor of industrial robotics at UC Berkeley.
The philosophers have asked them, like Descartes was asking, how do I know I'm sitting here in front of this fireplace? The same questions are also asked every day in terms of instruments when the reality is at a distance.
Goldberg has a name for this field of inquiry, telepistemology.
Those questions are fascinating to us, and the web provides a new arena for these questions where you're offered something that's real, like these web cameras.
Web cameras have been proliferating like tribbles, giving the virtual world of the web a window on the real world outside. Occasionally, one of these webcams will cause controversy, like the toilet cam.
Someone had set up a camera in a public restroom, aimed down at one of the stalls, and said you could come in and watch if someone comes in. Well, of course, this raised a huge controversy and scandal, and what happened was every time one went in there to look at this, you just saw an empty toilet stall. But there was always a potential that you would actually catch someone in the act. And, of course, it turned out that it was just a still image. And I think it's one of the greatest conceptual artworks on the web. Very, very simple. And it raises all these questions.
Of course, from time to time, gentlefolk of leisure have questioned whether we can ever really know anything. And in the comfort of one's drawing room, one might well conclude, I don't know. But real life isn't actually run this way. What most of us want to know about reality is, can I make any money? And is it illegal? Who would stand up in a court and say, I can't be sure I saw the alleged perpetrator, Your Honor. All I'm certain of is my sense data. Is this a $100 bill? That is a question that can be answered in the real world. And this high-speed industrial robot arm will let you try answering it over the web. This is a site called Legal Tender, the work of Eric Paulos and Ken Goldberg.
You come in to this site, which is www.counterfeit.org, and you are presented with $200 bills, and you get a small sector randomly from one bill, A or B, and you're allowed to perform experiments on these bills. And then if you choose an experiment, let's say the burn test, the puncture test, you're given a warning that this is there's a federal statute against knowingly defacing federal currency. Do you wish to proceed? Press this button.
Faced with the responsibility for actual consequences, says Eric Paulos, people do somehow manage to make judgments about the reality of what they're seeing. What evidence is most important to these judgments? That's part of the research. We do know that when paying a visit with your space browser, reality is an issue at both ends of the transaction. At your end, the reality of the remote location should be so compelling that you feel immersed in it. At the other end, your blimp should convey your presence, not just its own. One key to that, says John Canny, is the ability to show attention.
We want to have a notion of attention so that the telerobot has a gaze that it can steer. People around it can tell what it's paying attention to, and they can tell that it's directing their attention to them, and they can start a conversation with it.
But surprisingly, your space browser should not be anthropomorphic. Canny and Paulos cite the work of sociologist Stanley Milgram, who experimented in the 70s with what he called Cyrenoids, after Cyrano de Bergerac. Cyrenoids speak the words of others, received on a hidden radio. The Cyrenoid, a youngster perhaps, would converse with an experimental subject, but his words would all come from someone very different, say, a nuclear physicist. The experimental subjects couldn't tell. The physical presence of the Cyrenoid masked the remote presence of the speaker. The moral is, your blimp should act like something, not somebody. Its gestures should be simple and mechanical, along the lines of turn signals.
Exactly, turn signals. Automobiles can actually manifest quite a bit of personality. If you watch people, you can often tell a lot about their mood and level of aggression.
Now, it may be just a matter of habituation, but at the moment it's hard to imagine striking up a conversation with a bright blue hovering blimp. It's even harder to imagine palling around or having a game of poker.
We're not trying to replace human interaction. I think we all still prefer human interaction. The question we're interested in is exactly what is missing. And we're trying to isolate that, if you will, in a laboratory setting, which is we have a new terrain for experimentation here on this web, and if you will, a huge corpus of subjects out there. And we want to study how these reactions work. Now, this is in Austria right now. Because of the delay to Europe, we're getting about 147 bytes per second, which is very slow.
Goldberg has another project running on the web, this one called the Telegarden. Registered members direct a high-speed robot arm to plant and water seeds in a 6-foot diameter plot. A bulletin board gives them a place to chat and build a sense of community with their fellow gardeners. The arm can take time-lapse movies of any plant to record its progress. Altogether, it's about as real as reality gets on the web. Meanwhile, this is in a room somewhere in Austria,
right,
moving around.
Right. At night, you're in the room and you're sitting there, all of a sudden there's a movement, and it's very spooky in a way that it's controlled, it's being controlled far away. In fact, people over the web, when they're playing on the garden, wonder if doubt that the garden is real. People there, you're standing around in this museum, and all of a sudden the robot moves. And you say, oh, that's somebody controlling it from somewhere else around the world. And they doubt that the people over the web are real.
I'm John Rieger.